Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On 100th episode. For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
We haven't done that in a long time.
Hello, my geeklings!
Hello, everybody!
100!
We've gone triple digit.
Wow. Dang. Do you feel old?
I feel really old.
Now you know why, when I was naming my episodes, it was 001, right. 002. See?
I think that you're being a little less than optimistic that you didn't do 0001.
True. Aaron intends to cancel us at episode 999.
That's it.
Seven seasons, that's it. Then we develop a new show.
Do we actually reach syndication at that point?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
So, well, welcome everybody. Some of you, all of you listening has made it to episode 100.
100.
Some of you just started at episode 99, but that's okay.
Good. That's fine. We don't judge.
We do have a backlog online with almost 97 episodes. Don't ask.
But just in case you're new, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Donald Marshall. I'm a video game professional and a writer here in sunny Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Matt King. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
My name is Pete Robinson. I am a screenwriter and a director here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
And all of you who are listening are geeks, too. I am sorry to inform you. So, how was everybody's geek 100 episodes?
Wow.
How has our lives changed since we started this?
Well, what did you think it was going to be originally?
I thought it was one of Aaron's larks.
Well, let's talk about how this came about.
It is a lark.
I mean, still a lark. Basically, we're sitting in a room and Aaron goes, hey, I want to talk to you guys about something. I got this idea.
It's my birthday.
I want to do a podcast.
It was his birthday. Right.
My birthday party.
I want to do a podcast. And we all went, What's a podcast? And he goes, I want to call it Geeks On. And I want to do it, you know. And
I fought against that name so hard.
You're like Geeks On. I don't get Geeks, it. And I was like, you know, like
Geeks, everyone's going to read it as Geeks Son.
No. Like Geeks On this, you know, like Geeks On a subject. And then Aaron, and I brought up a bunch of subjects, and Aaron made me go, no, we can't talk about that. We have to talk about geeky things.
Okay. And he still does
that. We've said that 100 episodes to you, Matt.
I actually have a bunch of clips of listeners who sent in all of these crazy things that I bring in with you guys going, why do you bring in stories on midgets?
Yeah.
Midgets versus a lion? Really?
This is Geeks On, not Weird On.
Yes. Yeah. I think Weird On is very
I think
important.
I wanted Geek Talk, which is a different podcast now.
Well, when we
should have copyrighted
when we submitted our first episode to Podcast Alley, which at the time was one of the few aggregates of podcasts, like they kind of collect them. When our first episode, when we submitted, it ranks the popularity of the podcast. We were 402, which means there happened to have been 402 podcasts before us, period. That was it in the
entire
world.
Anyone check to see how many are on Podcast Alley today?
I don't know. It's hundreds of thousands, I'm sure.
Wow.
But most of those...
Where are we ranked?
Around 400 still.
Really?
I think, yeah.
Nice.
actually, most of those podcasts are gone.
Yeah.
Like, they just didn't survive. So
we regularly get emails from people saying like, hi, we just launched a podcast. Will you give us a listen? So I feel like we're the grandpappy of geek lifestyle podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of podcasts that get way more listeners than us. And most of those have been pre-established radio shows that's gone podcast or, you know, whatever. But we're still one of the oldest ones.
That's so
well,
weird.
You know,
that's
we also don't really advertise. I mean, we don't
advertise at all.
Yeah. We're purely word of mouth.
Yeah.
So if you're here, it's because your mouth has been worded.
Exactly.
Wait, no, that's not
in
right.
Singapore or Malaysia, which
we are huge in Australia.
Doesn't that bug you out? I mean, the first time somebody put up that Frapper page and I found out that we had listeners in Japan and Malaysia and Australia, I was like, really?
Yeah, I was like, Australia is crowded. Like, yeah.
And didn't your sister go to a convention in England?
And yeah, and a whole bunch of people came up to her and saying, "Oh yeah, we listened to your brother and all those."
Do you mean Aaron's incredibly hot sister, Christina Hendricks?
Yes.
But what has happened? What has happened to you guys? I mean, do you think the show has changed at all?
I have a good point with this one, which is I wasn't sure the show would go past 3 or 4 episodes when we first talked about it.
Oh,
I was like, you know, I could totally see this being something we start to do. It's a lot more work than we intended it to be,
right?
And it just disappears.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because Aaron shouldered the burden for the first year.
Well, that's true. Aaron did all of the editing.
Aaron was the heavy lifter on this project.
Aaron edited everything and did the website at first too.
Yeah,
but after we started doing a couple episodes, it was like it was such a neat thing because it felt like we were learning something new every week.
Okay, now here's my question. Do you think this has made our friendship? Because we are always been BSing in rooms for as long as we've been together.
We'd still be doing this if there were no microphones in front of us.
I mean, well, that's why we had our first episode. We had to convince Aaron to watch Battlestar is because he sat there in a room and went, "I don't know, I don't like you."
I saw the first half of the first episode. Meh.
Oh, come on. Anyway, but do you think it's kept our friendship closer?
Oh, absolutely.
Or because we sort of close mouth about things because we got to save it for the episode, do you think we hold back?
I don't think we're very good at being closed mouth about anything.
That's true.
You know, if we're not actually recording something that day, we still yabber, 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 yabber. Yabber.
Although Don and I were just arguing about
You'll have to start your own political podcast, you two. You can sit and...
Except for eventually we'll hit subjects and Don and I will just be like, totally. Yeah. Yeah.
You need always true, though. I mean, that's one of the things...
about other people's opinions.
Well, no, that's one of the things I love about our particular group. We're generally in agreement. We are generally of like minds.
Yeah.
But you can't find a single subject where all of us are absolutely lockstep.
We got to get my friend Mike here on the show, the ultra right wing geek. He's an awesome, awesome geek, but boy, is he right wing.
I don't know if I could deal with that. But anyway.
But that makes it just interesting enough. So, and we're also good about not backing down on... Like, if three of us have an opinion about a movie and the other person doesn't, we're pretty good about holding our opinions, you know, so we don't... So it's an interesting conversation.
Right. Yeah, it's because we all know we're right. Well, at least I am.
Yeah.
Well.
So what gave you the idea to do a podcast?
Because I'm a 12-year-old who likes the newest technology.
Well, no, I mean, I started listening to podcasts. I thought it was a great idea because I was driving, and it felt like the TiVo version of radio. I could get a specific topic delivered straight to me. Like, I was listening to a board game podcast, and I thought, this is awesome. You know, I've got a radio show about board games. Doesn't exist, you know. This is the only way to get that. And but then most of them were terrible. You know, a lot of them are just, you know, four guys sitting in a room talking.
How could that possibly survive more than two or three hours?
It's that,
and it's just that there was a lot of you know, they're very unfocused, or you couldn't hear what was going on, or whatever. And I was like, man, we bitch all the time. It'd be great to get, you know, to just. And also, I just felt like I needed a artistic diversion that wasn't related directly to.
Banging your head against the wall in Hollywood.
Yeah. And which is one of the reasons why we don't advertise and turn this into a business is because it's a hobby for us and we like keeping it a hobby.
You people are listening to our steam as we let it out.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the reason why I felt like...
And people should know that it's not just that we haven't gotten an offer. We did get an offer from Clear Channel to host the podcast and to put it as
More than that. We've gotten quite a few offers, actually.
But they always want control of content and it's basically
we're artists.
No, don't we will sell out as fast as anybody on this planet. Just the number hasn't rolled in. The correct number has not rolled in. Trust me.
My ass is for sale.
If you are listening right now and you need and you want to buy this shit out, just contact us. because I'm really willing to sell.
The funny part is I listen to like local radio on like Sundays and stuff, and I'm just like, oh, we could kick the crap out of this DJ.
Easily. Yeah. We drop the F-bomb maybe one too many times.
Yeah. We would lose our FCC license in a heartbeat, admittedly.
But it doesn't have to be live.
Yeah, we could just...
We can hire one of those people who press the button.
10-second delay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess now that we're at episode 100, we actually have a little bit of cred. Any tips for any young and up-and-coming podcasts on how to keep it fresh and new and wholesome, just like we do?
Well, there are books wholesome on this subject.
Yeah, but I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I'm going to give you a whole bunch of advice that we do not ourselves
follow
in any way, shape, or form. No,
being consistent with releasing the podcast. I know.
And in fact, just so you guys know, we are going to try and be more consistent.
Though I think we're going to fess up and change our website to say weekly podcast to bimonthly.
Bimonthly. Yeah, we're going to try and release it twice a month.
Bimonthly.
Yeah. Whatever.
It doesn't mean we're ever going to do it, but we're going to try.
Right. So being consistent, but also being consistent with your subject matter. People download your show because they were searching for a topic of some sort or some theme or whatever, or an attitude or whatever. So, you know, just make sure that you've identified what your show is and then keep with it.
Keep it
and
simple.
Don't meander around. And also get... Yeah,
we never do that.
Well, I mean, we try to at least keep it on track in the geeky realm. We've gotten flack for not doing it. Like when we get into politics too much, we've gotten all the letters saying,
politics and religion have been the kiss of death for us.
I would disagree because those are the discussions that are the most on the forums.
Yeah,
there's just more people talking about it than anything.
Just because a couple people talk about it doesn't mean that the majority of our listeners who search for Geeks On want to hear, you know, us blab about,
especially
politics.
When some of them are around the world, and you know,
well, yeah. People say they don't like talk radio and they don't like when Howard Stern goes off on things, but they keep on tuning.
But that's
in.
Yeah, but they tune in for him to hear him do that.
I'm not saying it should be an all time thing. I'm just saying,
Matt, start your own damn podcast. You can pitch about whatever you want to.
Matt's got a new podcast coming out.
Midgets and Lions, man. Midgets and Lions.
I'll have to say though, what Geeks On has done for me, just so we can move on and not do 20 minutes of just us blabbing.
Self-patting on the back.
Is that I think that Geeks On has got me to try other kind of geeky avenues. And it's also pushed me into doing, you know, I love going to Comic-Con and that type of stuff. And I just wasn't getting off my butt to go to Comic-Con before. And then now I'm like, well, you know, I should go to Comic-Con because...
Well, because we have press passes.
Well, yeah.
The truth comes out.
That's why I go.
Or the anime convention.
Yeah,
I never would have gone to that.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And so it has pushed me into those venues before. Right. So, you know, which is great.
Before we go on, however, I think, Aaron, you have something to say.
Matt's been trying to get
listeners.
Apparently there's some listeners who still want me to openly admit that the first episode in which I said I wasn't a big fan of the new series Battlestar. I did not like the new series of Battlestar Galactica. I thought the miniseries was not good. I still don't think... I really wish the miniseries...
This isn't a real apology, Aaron.
No, what I'm saying is
let him say it.
Battlestar Galactica is definitely... It is probably the best show on television right now, for sure.
Would you consider that to be an official retraction, Aaron?
That's an official retraction.
Very good. Well done, sir. We applaud your...
There you go.
Your brave, brave choice in coming forward. But you guys want to make any comments on how Geek On has affected you over the past couple years?
Aaron just apologized, so I mean, I feel all warm and fuzzy right
golden.
Now.
I think the same thing. You know, we pick topics, and typically when we pick a topic, a lot of times, you know, you have to go out and research it a little bit to just sort of, or even just spend a lot of time thinking about something you normally would not have thought about. And it just sort of expands your geek world.
The other thing I think is interesting is I've now found other people who are okay, either who's listened to our show or just even hears about our show and decides to come out of the geek closet.
I love those letters.
And it's a little bizarre. I mean, I guess I had never thought about it, but people write us, or people come up to me and say, oh, I didn't think it was a geek, or I wanted to be geeky, but you guys seem, you know, interesting, cool enough that I decided to, you know, play board games and
watch. Why are you, talking with like a super geeky
what are you
voice
saying, Aaron?
As you say it, like,
that ain't right, man.
I came out of the closet.
The basic premise, though, is what we've discovered is that there's a lot of people in the United States who are self-identified geeks or not, but feel that maybe they are, and they felt a little cut off from the geek world, and for some reason, you know, they've finally kind of come out to themselves as a geek and then sought out other geeks, and they feel like their lives are improved for it. So I just think it's a fantastic thing.
Yeah.
And I got to say, personally, I certainly have learned to love my geekiness a lot more and own it. Yeah. You know, just through the course of this.
Well, and interestingly, since we've talked about being geeks much more, I find that the people around us who are not self-identified geeks are more actively accepting of our geekiness.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
Which has been really nice.
Although it's very funny because we now get referred to as the group now and again. You know?
Do we?
Yeah, by our friends, the geeks, you know.
Oh, that's
Maureen
really,
does that all the time.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
The geeks is us.
Four.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, shall we talk a little bit about what our episode's about?
We're doing a slightly different episode because we're not going to be covering news. We're not going to be talking about current events. This is going to be... Aaron, would you care to give the big denouement?
This is our top 100 geeky things. It's a giant list. And we actually came up with this list by breaking it down originally into 10 categories. Peter, what were the categories?
10 categories. Video games, books and series of books, comics, TV, movies, board games and RPGs, geeky people, animation, gadgets, and geeky organizations.
Yeah. And then we came up with our own, each individual one of us.
Everyone picked their top 10 in each of those categories.
Right.
So they would pick their top 10 geeky books, their top 10 geeky movies, their top 10, etc.
And we also gave that list out to several people outside of the geeks group here.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and we got Barry McCreary, the composer for Battlestar.
Yeah.
We got Cheyenne. Guests.
Ostensibly, Joss Whedon has it somewhere. Although,
God knows if you'll have the time. We didn't always get responses.
Right. We sent it out to a large number of our former guests and friends of the show.
And we didn't give them a lot of time, so, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
but we got enough back for a fairly decent representation here.
Yeah.
And we will be posting the results from some of our more famous people up on our forums. So,
but let's just quickly talk about some of the people who that contributed to this master list. We have...
all our geek buddies, first of all.
Yeah, all of our geek buddies.
Well, we had our local community.
We had Bear, who we just talked about.
And then
we had,
sort of...
So Bear, who is the composer of Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica.
And now lots of other shows.
And lots of other shows. We have Cheyenne, mm-hmm. who is... he works on Girl Genius, the webcomic.
Steve Peters. And listener to ours.
With Phil Folio. Yeah, Phil Folio's the... The writer of that. Yeah. Yeah, but he works on that.
Steve Peters from 42 Entertainment.
Who was a guest of ours who does alternate reality games.
Yep, mm-hmm. And specifically...
I'd love to have him back. He was just so interesting.
Well, especially actually in the aftermath of doing the alternate reality game for
Batman.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have Tom Vassell. He has probably the biggest board game podcast and probably the biggest reviewer of board games. I mean, it's like... I think he's like thousands of written reviews. He's on BoardGameGeek.com. He gave us his list. We have... Jaquili and some of his crew up at LucasArts.
Yep.
Or Lucas, up at Lucas Ranch.
Did we get back the list from Margaret Weiss Productions?
No.
Ah, oh, damn.
And one from John McCain.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, he's a big fan, of course, of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, he loves
and of
Magic
course,
Gathering.
Of course, we also have Lisa Lassick in the mix, who wishes she could be here today, but sends her regards to all of our listeners.
Of course, she's the editor of gazillions of shows. She's on Pushing Daisies right now.
Serenity,
Buffy the Vampire,
Buffy,
Vampire Slayer, Serenity, yes. Firefly.
Yes.
Anyway, lots of people.
Schmackety.
But then we took that and put all those scores in and came up with one master list.
Let's be specific. So for it, people gave us their top 10 picks. For their number one pick, we would give 10 points. Their number two pick, we would give 9 points.
And so on.
So down. And then we would just add up all the people's different points for each different geeky thing that they picked.
Right. So to be clear, this is not what we thought the geekiest things would be in the geek community. These are our opinions. So this is like my favorite geeky thing, Peter's favorite geeky thing, all kind of pushed together into this big
list. Don and I treated it somewhat historically. So I had my favorite things within the span of history.
Yeah. And, well, I also had my favorite things and things I consider to be just important to the world of geekdom.
Yeah.
I don't feel especially passionate about Pac-Man.
Right.
But my God, does that have an impact on the world of video games and culture?
Okay. I didn't do that at all.
Well, that's fine. I mean, we all had our own.
I don't judge. Did. Much. I went across, across time as well. A
Got
little
it.
Bit, but
like on my list, I think my number two was Pokemon. I'd just like to disclaim I'm not a Pokemon fan. But I just don't think you can ignore them.
But as we were putting together the list, it really was fascinating to see consistently which things were picked as people's top of the list,
right.
What order people put things in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go through the list.
And also what you forgot and then you heard on somebody else's list.
Oh, yeah. God, I kept smacking my head every time I read
it. Why didn't I think of that? So this list is pretty fun. I mean, I don't know how much you should pay attention to the whole thing.
It does jump around a bit. This is not a scientific
list. But it's fun.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's
so
fun.
The list goes by number of what people picked. So you can go through the list and see
The Society for Creative Anachronisms is going to be next to Albert Einstein.
Right. I mean, things are all over the place.
Well, let's start.
All right. Well, let's go through. So, shall we start from the bottom of the list or the top?
Bottom.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's work up to the least interesting thing, Peter.
Yep.
So, number 100 on the list.
100
is actually Google.
Google.
Really?
The organization Google.
Got it. Okay.
Especially now that Chrome has come out.
With 13 points.
Okay.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
Number 99 was Magic the Gathering the card game.
Okay.
I'm really surprised it's that far down.
Well, it's trickled.
I have to say,
it's died out. It has, but it changed the face of gaming.
Yeah, that was big in college. Yeah.
Did not change the face for me, though, at all.
Well, not for you personally, but when you look on a global scale of it, it almost killed role playing. Like,
did any of you guys, did it change any of your guys' lives?
I bought a lot of cards.
Oh, you did. Yeah. You did.
Yeah. I inherited a bunch.
Okay.
I bought a lot of cards. I sold a lot of cards right at the peak. That's the only time I sold a Black Lotus.
But those of you,
good on you.
But those of you who at all are interested, they are still making the game, and I believe there's even a new version of Magic the Gathering, the card game, coming down for a download for Xbox Live.
Ooh,
that's interesting.
There was a video game that I really enjoyed, because I still really enjoyed the game. I think it's a hell of a lot of fun. Even though you haven't played, right, Aaron?
No, I've never played Magic.
I got to go home and get you my box.
Let me know when you play, because I'd love to play.
I played Vampire.
I just don't want to buy them.
Or at the time, it was Jihad.
Right. Oh, I love that game.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. We'll never.
Number 98. Is the board game Settlers of Catan.
Okay.
Not a surprise. It's a big cross success. You know, it hit mainstream, hit Xbox Live.
Great game. Great. I mean, that's the game that saved board gaming, really.
Yeah. It's the first 90s. One that penetrated the American markets, too.
Although Xbox Live did it in for me. I really liked the game, and now I care less whether
you're
I play it again.
It.
Yeah, I played it so much on Xbox Live against so many people. And
I can understand that.
I was like, I'm done.
Well, you'll probably put it down for a couple of years, and then we'll break it out as a board game, and you're like, oh, damn, this is an awesome game.
And then JC will beat us all over again.
Yeah, seriously. But let's point out that at this level, where we have like 13 points, we had things that would break out and go really high, but down when you're around 13 points, there were a lot of things that were just kind of hovering beneath it that just didn't quite creep into the list.
Well, let's not go over them, because then people will know they're not later on the list.
No, we're not going to go into them at all. I'm just letting people know that there was, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So these are the ones that people just put kind of in their sevens and eights on their list. Yeah. So.
Right. Okay, so number 97 is the person, Gary Gygax.
Oh.
Gary.
With 14 points.
We gave him a little.
He, yeah.
A visionary.
Definitely changed, my life.
Yeah.
Big time. 96 is the role-playing game Shadowrun.
Oh.
Shadowrun
made it that high. Color me impressed. They got the video game for it right now, which is a piece of crap.
Yeah.
It looks lame.
And it's such a shame because Shadowrun has really interesting ideas, but, you know.
You know, if, like, I still just don't know why they didn't make a role-playing game.
It's a
video
weird,
game. Yeah. I mean, they made an action
It's
shooter.
Like they just slapped a name on something else and changed some skins at the last minute.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're just trying to capitalize on something.
So, you know, that game was put out by Faza, who was actually Steve Peters. He works
really?
For the guy who started Faza.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's at
Steve Peters at 42 Entertainment.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And anyway, that's one of their products. And, you know, it's a role playing game with lots of dice.
Sorry.
You roll lots of dice.
What, Shadowrun?
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely.
Guns with lots of dice.
Guns, lots of dice, and pointy ears.
Number 95 is the Belgariad.
Ah, classic. David Eddings, thank you so much.
And mm-hmm. for those geeks out there who are now breeding and have spawn of your own, why not consider reading that to your youngin?
Because
I
think
it's, for me, it's just a classic childhood
great
book.
Gift for a 12 to 15-year-old, too.
Yeah, it was my introduction to the fantasy world in a lot of ways.
Thank you, really? Tommy Finocchio, for giving me that.
Now, I got to say, I actually have reread the Belgariad recently. And, you know, it's interesting because I think that he gets by a lot on the charm of his characters.
Yeah, I agree.
And his plot is actually kind of not
stale. And especially in the Malorian.
That's why I think it's a good young adult book.
It's a great young adult book. It's a fantastic young adult book.
And I don't think it fails when you read it as an adult either.
No. Well, you know, I got to tell you, I read the first five, but when the Malorian started up again,
Malorian is redundant.
I tossed it out. It was the same series over
There's
again.
A reason why the Belgariad is on the list and the Malorian
is
probably
not.
Is not.
Yes, there's that. Okay, so number 94, Discworld.
Awesome.
By Terry Pratchett.
Yeah.
If we had more British people voting, I'm sure it would
Yes, we would be much, much higher.
Yes.
Discworld is amazing. We should do it.
How big is that series?
It's immense, and Terry Pratchett ain't doing so well.
I want to say hovering around 30
books.
I'm
worried that it's going to end.
Telling you, I have the feeling that when Pratchett will write a final book, I don't think he's just going to fizzle out. I think he'll close it. And I'm going to be an emotional wreck for about a month after I read that book.
We should do an all Discworld show. We probably will.
Anyway.
Number 93 is Dragonlance.
Awesome. Margaret Weis.
Another young adult classic.
Yeah, that was great.
Good one to share with your kids.
Huge series.
Yes.
Well, the first three books, Dragons of Autumn, Twilight was the first, I think.
Yeah, that's straight out like early high school for me. I think that's when it came out.
Yeah, I want to say 8th grade, 9th grade.
Yeah, 8th grade, 9th grade.
And it shaped the way I see Dungeons & Dragons in a lot of ways.
Don has been playing barmaids in RPGs
ever since. It's true.
Nice. Lots of inns with rumors.
Yes.
Nice. Number 92, Mensa.
Mensa.
Oh. Yep. Mensa's next to Dragonlance.
It what?
Mensa's next to Dragonlance. They would be so offended.
Those little bitches.
Yeah, Mensa is squeezed firmly between Dragonlance and Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs! Okay, they wouldn't mind being next to Steve Jobs.
No.
Now, here's the funny thing about Steve Jobs. He's down at 91. But a lot of things he's associated with are a lot higher on the list.
Heck
now, that's actually true.
That doesn't surprise me. The invention often makes deeper impact into culture than the inventor.
He's not even the inventor. He's like the pusher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, he's...
Hey, buddy,
it's funny because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about his health lately. He's had cancer before. Mm-hmm. He lost a little bit of weight. And when he showed up and did his last talk, everybody was wondering what that meant. And, you know, the stock price seems to be tied to his health.
Yeah.
When people start talking about his health, the stock wavers. And people are wondering, you know, what is going to happen if he leaves the company, because of an illness, which could happen.
Did you hear about the PC Mac wars? about the fact that the hey, I'm a PC, I'm a Mac. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they basically doubled their market share.
Yeah, I know.
And so now
they're like a Microsoft is 7%,
I think.
So now Microsoft is finally having to respond to the ads.
Yeah, but they didn't. Did you see the ad?
Well, it's Bill Gates and Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, talking about shoes.
It's not a very good ad.
Well, it's the first of a campaign.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where it's going. You can't judge it on that point. It's like, it's about a shoe company, so it's okay. Bizarre.
So number 90 is X-Files.
Okay.
The TV show. Not the films. The TV.
You know, did you guys find it strange how fast that series' popularity died off after it ended?
I felt really like sort of geeks that were done with it. They felt not necessarily betrayed, but done.
Yeah. No, I think it's something different. I think that the movies were not very good.
There's only one movie, really, until recently.
Well, no, there's more than one movie. Canon. There are two movies.
I think geeks are big into canon, and with the last two seasons, didn't they write out the lead characters? I mean, I stopped watching when...
Yeah, well, they took Mulder and Scully. Yeah. Well, so, no, it became Scully and whoever the new guy was.
And then didn't Scully leave
totally at the
end,
too? I totally tuned out yeah. when he went.
So the point is, though, that they changed what people loved about it, and when you do that, you corrupt something that people love.
Yeah. Well, I think they tried to go back to the sort of...
Hasn't killed Star Trek.
Well, yeah. They tried to go back to the original element and didn't work.
No, but Star Trek, they totally reinvented. That's a different thing.
Well, I would disagree because the final one, they went back to pre-old series and people were complaining. They're corrupting some of the history. I mean, hardcore geeks were complaining.
Yeah, but
nobody
people
else
are looking forward to Star Trek, the new movie.
Oh, boy.
Don't look forward to the new X-Files
John
movie.
Show. Yes, but the point is that they did a good job with the Star Trek movies. The Star Trek movies, a lot of them are quite good.
Nice. Well, they're entertaining, at least.
Whereas the X-Files...
If they're an even
there's like
number.
There's like been like 10 Star Trek movies,
yeah.
Two of which are good.
But the early ones were good, though. That's the point.
What's that?
Yeah.
The early movies were good. Whereas the X-Men...
But also,
and even the bad ones
ago.
Have made money.
X-Files. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Whereas the X-Files movies were not that impressive.
Yeah. I guess so.
Okay. So, number 89 is Elektra, the comic book.
Oh, okay. God.
Really?
Wow. I just had a little bit of
I'm surprised.
Vomit just rise up there.
Well,
for
no,
a
the
second.
Comic book.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
the comic
oh,
book's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah. Yeah. 88, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Of course.
Great. Yeah.
If you get the annotated version, and also there's a version that has a big author's note in the beginning of it, I highly recommend that because that letter that he wrote is incredibly, incredibly funny.
You know, I read the book, and then later on we were traveling somewhere and got the books on tape, and I thought I would be disappointed in the reading just because I kind of had all the voices in my head already and
doing it. Preconceived notion.
It's great.
The British books on tape, they tend to take some serious actors
for
that stuff.
It's great. So if you can find it, it's well worth listening to even.
Number 87 is the organization Gen Con.
Okay.
Gen Con.
Which I've never attended.
I haven't either. I've heard my friends for years have been going, hey, are you going to Gen Con this year? And I've gone, no, I don't think I am.
Well, I went twice to Gen Con SoCal, and it was not good.
It doesn't compare. I mean, no one pretends that it does.
Well, it's also gone now because
I think everyone couldn't compare.
Yeah.
I think maybe next year I'm going to go.
Okay.
That'd be fun. I'd go. Either that or Origins.
Yeah, Gen Con.
Number 86 puts a smile on my face.
Okay.
Number 86 is Robotech.
Robotech.
That just brings me back.
I actually didn't watch Robotech.
A connection to it. Yeah, it's
really? It was on a lot of people's lists as kind of hovering around the...
Rick Hunter.
Now,
Lisa Hayes.
What's interesting is that some things...
We met Rick Hunter, didn't we?
We met him at Comic-Con, yes.
Some things got on the list because they were a few people's high votes. Mm-hmm. Other things got on the list because a lot of people voted for them as their low votes. And I seem to recall that we had quite a few Robotechs, but they were kind of like down near the bottom of people's
votes.
It's
that Inception one. You're like, oh, yes, I know there are things better than this, but this was the first one. I always wanted to play Rick Hunter in a live-action movie, and I think I'm getting a little old, so hurry their asses
was
up.
Was he Asian?
Yeah, he's... Well, really? I don't know. You,
can't
can
tell
you,
him.
Can you tell
can't
whether
tell.
Or not he's, like, just
did he have green
and,
hair? I don't remember.
No, he did not. Okay. That was Max.
Number 85 is Carl Sagan.
Billions of
the great thing about Carl Sagan is that, you know, he may not have been the most smartest man on the planet or the most brilliant or whatever, but what he did was made science fun and interesting and cool, and but also just thought-provoking for the us regular folk. Like, he made us think by presenting other people's works even to us. And
but it wasn't dry.
It wasn't dry. And if you watch, like, I just recently rewatched Cosmos. They've kind of redone it to
They're
make it HD.
Good.
It's awesome. And he's like a poet. When he speaks, he wrote a piece of poetry to introduce Cosmos. And you're like, oh my God, now I know why people want to, you know, study science.
And if you get the Radiolab podcast, they have an episode on love, and they talk about Carl Sagan and Miss Doyen, whose first name I can't remember, how they fell in love. And actually, I believe it's the Voyager spacecraft has body recordings of her, you know, because that's one of the things that we sent out into space, when she was falling in love with Carl Sagan, just going off
that's
into
really
the universe.
Sweet.
Yeah. And it's recorded on that record.
Recording on that record.
Now, number 84 is really interesting because on our list of people, our top 10 people, these two people were consistently next to each other and always off by one point in this order. So 84 is Bill Gates. So Bill Gates was always one point before Steve Jobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is what organizations made it on, and we'll get to that in a little bit. So 83, the board game Carcassonne.
Okay.
Yeah, great. That's a great board game.
It's a great game.
It's a great beginning starter board game. So if you're not into board games, go pick up Carcassonne because you can teach your entire family.
Number 82 is the TV show Heroes.
Okay. Not
my
favorite. It's
not my favorite, but it as far as geek factor goes, I had to put it on my list. I mean, it's the first non-franchise superhero thing I can think of since Auto Man.
I don't know. I could
or
really
Great American Hero.
Wow, you just brought up Auto Man.
Yeah. I thought of 10 TV shows easily that was ahead of Heroes. Yeah.
But not in superhero genre. That's all I'm saying.
Well, true.
Number 81 is Comic-Con.
Okay, awesome.
With 18 points.
Which now is awesome because Geeks On goes to it every year.
Exactly. Yeah. It's even better now.
It's now
better. And you know what? This last year's Comic-Con, I thought, flowed better. Something
really?
Worked better. I don't know if they
cut the
amount of people.
Well, no. What they did was they had bigger rooms for the things that were going to be more popular, so people were able to get in and not wait around.
Like that major, the big hall, which I thought was the same size.
It is.
I got in every time. I didn't have to wait 3 hours. I waited maybe a half hour, and I got in.
Yeah.
It totally worked this year. Still zillions of people, but
zillions.
Number 80 is the Society for Creative Anachronism.
Awesome. I belonged.
Did you really?
I did. In high school, I belonged.
I always wondered if I joined, would they make me go as a Polynesian? You know?
No, I went,
so what did you do?
I went, well, I worked with them for a while, and we went out and would dress in stupid outfits and bash on each other with swords, and I was taking...
Huzzah!
Right. And I was taking kenjutsu at the time, so I was sort of practicing, you know, a lot of Japanese swordsmanship. And then I went out with one of the senseis in my kenjutsu class, who was a very good swordsman, and we went out and we did Punic Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And Punic Wars was this thing that happened in Massachusetts, where basically we reenacted a Roman battle... But it was SCA style, so like you got a guy who's a samurai over here, and a guy who's like a barbarian warrior.
Who invited
over
the Star
here.
Trek guy?
I mean, it was just random, but it was basically this giant two big armies of 600 people coming in and then bashing on each other, and then it becomes a little bit like I hit you,
yeah,
you know. But
the sad part is, it sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Oh, it was really cool, but the people who were really good with blades had to wear arm markers, had to basically, you know, so that you, if you, you know, they I, that was the first time I'd ever seen a real arrow storm, because they covered the ends of the arrows with these big like puffy things, but like you had archers firing a few hundred arrows.
Wow.
It was cool, but I went in and I followed this blade master guy, you know, into battle, and he got muddy throughout it and sort of messed himself up, and we ended up facing these guys who were dressed as, they were small Roman cohort, they were like six Roman legionnaires, and he was messy and they beat me very handily. But he was messy, so they were like, we'll fight you one at a time, which was the stupidest thing they could have done in the entire world, because he just schooled them all and then like went on, and I had this moment of, go on without me.
That's cool.
Nice.
Number 79 We combined certain things. So Terminator and Terminator 2 comes in as number 79.
I'll be back.
The series of Terminators.
Now, the reason why we combined some of them, because some of these categories, is because people were getting so specific, they weren't making the lists at all.
But I'm going to have to be specific about certain things when we get to those.
Well let's be specific. I mean, I thought the first Terminator movie had a freshness to it that the second one didn't. I mean, I love the second Terminator movie, but that low-budget energy to the first one is just amazing.
Well, I just want to know what Jim Cameron has with water. He's got this thing with water.
Liquidy
water in everything. And they say, you know, psychology, water means sex, so...
No, I think... I could be completely wrong, but I think it's because he owned the technology that they used to do the liquid effect liquid for Terminator effect. 2, so he kept using it in all of his movies.
Hmm.
Yeah. Ah, interesting. Number 78... Sandman, the comic.
Awesome. Gaiman. Awesome.
That rocked me in college.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Just rocked me.
I haven't read that.
You should.
I should.
I have the collector's edition if you want it.
Okay. And I can't believe it's never been adapted for...
I think a bunch of people
stage or screen.
A bunch of people
Someone's working on it.
Stage.
Oh, come on. Stage.
Stage would be
Sandman
a
would be
great
awesome.
Version of Sandman.
Yeah.
Stage would be really... I mean, it wouldn't be as sort of...
It would have to be a spectacle play, but, you know, it would be amazing.
By the way, you know The Fly is playing downtown?
I'm going on Wednesday.
Oh, you are? Really?
The opera.
The opera.
For those of you who are interested.
Help me. What's I'm buzzing.
What's the buzz?
Buzzing
tell me
with
what's
anticipation
happening.
For your love.
Why are you looking at me funny now? Why are there 500 of you?
77, the comic book top 10.
Awesome.
Genius.
Such a short-lived series, though.
And yet genius.
And would make a great TV show.
Oh,
is this the one about the cops who are on patrol?
Super city cops?
All superheroes.
If you haven't read the graphic novel of top 10 based in the 1940s,
oh, when it was first getting started?
When it's first getting started, it explains so much about the series.
It's like a prequel to the series.
I loved it.
How many books are in the...
I would actually buy top 10 regularly.
To my knowledge, there are only three graphic novels, including that one.
Oh, okay.
I would buy top 10 regularly if it came out.
Number 76, with 18 points, The Foundation Trilogy.
Ugh! Come on, man.
That's a hardcore trilogy, though.
Isaac
Asimov.
I have
to admit, I admire Isaac Asimov. I admire his writing. I admire the ideas. He bores me. I just don't
really
get into his stuff.
Foundation, and it's not
but
a trilogy,
it's like big
by the way.
Well,
it was originally a trilogy, and now it's many, many more books.
I need something
and then,
a little more grounded than that.
I love Foundation. And actually, you would love it because when it gets into psychohistory, into psychologically, how do we manipulate the future?
That's interesting.
You would absolutely.
I've never actually tried reading Foundation. I admit that.
And you find out that there are two foundations and not just one. And you know when you get in and you find out that one's manipulating the other. And
when were they written?
They were written years and years ago. You know,
sixties, fifties. Okay,
yeah, 60s and
50s. Very cool.
Yeah.
So number 75, a quarter of the way through our list, Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic,
the video game,
the video game.
Yep.
Wow, I thought that would be higher.
Really?
Freaking love that video game.
It had a lot of competition when it comes to video games.
That's true.
There's really, I mean, it's a great geeky category. I mean, video games are geeky.
No, that's not our first video game, is it?
Maybe. I don't know.
So we've gotten three quarters away and we haven't hit one video game yet.
Well, that means the video games are rated pretty highly.
Yeah,
One quarter.
Okay. Huh. Wow.
Yeah, no, the video games definitely were higher. Yeah.
The thing is with Knights of the Old Republic was, one, solid, fun gameplay, but two, story development and character development that were better than the most recent trilogy.
Yeah. It saved Star Wars for me, quite frankly.
What was the old Star Wars video game? It was a first-person shooter.
Do you remember? Mean
Do you remember what I'm talking
there's
about?
There's so many.
You're talking about the one where you fly.
The very first one.
Yeah, he's talking about the one where it's all lines and you're flying around.
No,
you're talking about first-person shooter.
First-person shooter.
Yeah, it's one with Kyle Katan.
Yes.
Well, no. If you're talking about the very first Star Wars video game.
No, I'm talking about the very first Star Wars shooter. First-person shooter.
He's talking
about.
Okay, but
with Kyle Katan.
Where you're flying around?
No,
that's not
first person
shooter.
Like it's Gosh, everyone's screaming it. Yes. I know. Anyway, keep going.
It's that, yes. You could throw grenades. You could fire the Stormtrooper weapons. I loved that game. That was the first first-person shooter that I really got on
Never
board
played
with.
It.
Yeah, that was a good game. Yeah, that was good.
Number 74. The next three are with 19 points. Number 74 is Renfair.
Renfair's, yeah.
Until you've had your ass grabbed by a big buxom wench, you're missing out.
And let me tell you,
the corsets they sell there are amazing. They were demonstrating them by putting them on 17-year-old boys and showing how much cleavage they can put on.
Wow.
It was ridiculous.
Didn't Morgan put one on?
Yeah.
And then it was just wrong.
It was a thing of beauty. That's all I can say.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, Morgan's gorgeous to begin with, but you put the corset on there, she's like, oh my God.
Well, she's already a baby.
And Ren Faire, by the way, are big geek orgies, if anybody wants to know, because everyone's, it's, trust me, it's, it gets crazy.
Would that be, are you kidding? Quarter? That's why I go after the Ren Faire closes.
Yeah, because they, when everyone's camping there and staying there for a couple weeks, it's crazy.
Would that be a gorgy?
Yeah.
Number 73. Iron Giant.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great animated movie. That was on our, most people put that in the animated list.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Vin Diesel's best role.
Vin Diesel's definitely his best role.
Number 72, The Hobbit, the animated film.
Yes. Love that one.
Bakshi, right?
The greatest adventure is what lies ahead.
That's where there's a whip, there's a way, too, right?
No.
Return of the King.
That's Return of the King.
Oh, okay.
However, the voice of Gandalf in that was voiced by John Huston, father of Danny Huston, who I just did a movie with.
Interesting.
Number 71, coming in at 20 points, is Chess.
The musical or the board game?
Sure, board game.
I think chess is the foundation of all board games that followed, I believe. You know, it's the first one that brought complexity. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yes, there were board games that preceded it. Senate, probably checkers, Go, Othello. But chess was the first one to add a whole new layer.
I've been trying to figure out with my cousin who's in the military how to do a game of terrorist chess.
I know you've been talking about that for a while.
I've been writing down rules whenever I sort of something pops into my head, but because chess was fundamentally simplifying the war field. How do you simplify a war field when it's you versus an enemy that doesn't exist? So that and then does and then doesn't and then does.
Number 70 with 20 points is Superman the comic. Now,
okay.
That's boiling a lot of Superman together.
Yes,
there, I'm sure.
This is boiling. Some people were more specific. They said the death of Superman.
I was very specific about it being the death of Superman.
A lot of people had that.
But
that one.
The problem was that Superman wouldn't have made it on the list at all if we hadn't combined the two, because other people were generic.
Right.
So it was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the death of Superman, as much as he is sort of the make your teeth hurt, he's so good character. When he died, I bought all of those comics, and I thought it was...
The problem is for me, being more... I think I was a longer-term reader of comic books than you were. Mm-hmm. The death of Superman really kind of came late on the heels of heroic deaths. Mm-hmm. You know, prior to that, you had Crisis on Infinite Earths with the death of Flash.
Right.
Who stayed dead, by the way. All the character of the Flash who died then never came back. It's been a different Flash since then. Hmm. Death of the original Supergirl, who also, if I recall correctly, never came back.
Superman.
Jean Grey.
Superman.
Are you kidding me? You're putting Jean Grey up with Superman as far as the...
Look, if you asked my mom who Jean Grey is, she'd wonder if it was a friend of hers.
No,
if you asked her who Superman was...
Her college roommate.
She would know Superman.
I'm just saying that the death of Superman was iconic because of who died, not because of the story.
You sure your mom wouldn't
be
that?
Yeah, that's a very valid argument.
That's all I'm saying.
You sure your mom wouldn't go, Phil Superman? Phil Superman?
The actual story around it was so... manufactured.
Yeah.
You know, here's a new character we're inventing just to kill that character.
Right.
We're going to do a big blow-off episode, and he clearly does. You know, it's just, meh. Nah.
Got it.
I didn't like...
But the importance of Superman...
Yeah, in geek.
To geekdom, you know, he's the forefather of all superheroes.
And what's awesome, and people always forget, is that he came out of... He's an alien. He came out of the sci-fi comics. You know, he came out of when Superman just leapt tall buildings in a single bound because he came from a heavier gravity planet.
Right.
You know, it was Superman didn't used
at
to
at some
be
later
so
point
uber.
When we do a full Superman episode, the politics of his birth are fascinating when you look back
in
the time.
By the way, there's
a
also
Jewish. He's a Jewish.
And by the way, there's
superhero.
A conspiracy a documentary. Metaphor. There's a conspiracy documentary coming out here soon that relates to that whole thing.
Really?
And Joss Whedon was interviewed about it and all this crazy stuff.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Number 69 is Pac-Man.
Oh, that was very high up on my list. Purely because, one, I played Pac-Man to death. Mm-hmm. That was also the first video game where I got my whole family around me and them, you know, sort of cheering me on as I was playing the video game. And it just, I mean,
my father played it.
I had Pac-Man sheets. Everybody played Pac-Man. I mean, it was just the first Uber video game.
It was the first Uber video game. Yeah. That's for sure.
Number 68 was 2001.
Oh. Wow. Pac-Man, it's 2001.
I would have thought that 2001 would have been a little higher on the list, to be quite frank. But, you know,
there's a lot of great geek movies, and that's it had a lot of competition.
2001,
in
fact, fantastic.
2001 snuck back onto the list with, like, the last two people who voted or something like that. It was it actually wasn't even on the list for a while.
Mm-hmm. Were any of you weirded out by that whole weird, like, him going into... I don't know if you read the books before you read them.
Yeah, well, not before.
But where he finally goes into the monolith and then there are all the crazy lights and it goes on for way too long.
Yeah.
Were any of you weirded out when you first saw the movie about that?
I was bored out of my
death. Okay,
I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
But I don't deal well with that sort of ending. Like the movie The Black Hole has sort of a similar ending where, like, I love the entire movie until you get to that last 2 minutes and I'm like, I have no idea what's happening.
I feel like I've just released a book because for years I've felt like I'm committing sacrilege for not.
But I was also 16 and also I wasn't stoned. So, I mean, you know.
But also remember, told me it's because I'm a Taurus.
But also remember that type of effect was never, I mean, that was a spectacle at one point.
Right.
So that was interesting at some point to people and it takes too long. And, you know, in the book, he's exploring the universe.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just back in the day. That wasn't going to happen.
I can only watch the Mandelbrot sequence for so long. It gets boring.
Number 67 is Batman the Killing Joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
that's separated from Batman. You kept that separate from Batman?
What's interesting is Batman didn't have any problems with people being distinctive about what they loved about it. Batman made the list a lot and for very individual specific things.
Hmm.
Whereas Superman, people would vote in general for Superman.
So these Batmans here that we'll see are split up and they still beat the conglomeration of Superman.
Wow. Yeah. And you'll see. And it's really...
But I think that might have something to do with the era we're living in right now.
Yeah.
It's hard for people to connect to Superman, but I think it's easy for people to connect to Batman.
Mm-hmm. I think it's actually, it's what you're saying, but it's more specific than that. Mm-hmm. It's not just the era that we're living in. It's the fact that you're able to have really interesting things happen to a character like Batman, whereas Superman just doesn't. There's no tension or no problems. There's no problem that Superman can't handle.
Unless they're galactic in scale.
Right. But Batman can have a character like the Joker that he's up against who, I mean, isn't anything but a super genius and have a really compelling storyline. Whereas if it was, the Joker up against Superman, it just wouldn't be interesting.
No, but that's not true because the last Batman movie, which I thought was partly great, is because the Joker was able to create problems that a superhero couldn't solve, which was letting humans make a decision for you.
Actually, that Batman could even have been a good Superman.
Yeah, like he
it wouldn't have been as good.
No,
because
absolutely not.
Because
absolutely
Superman, not. Even in that last final battle,
you would have to obviously make some adjustments. But the great thing about the last movie, they were terrorist acts. Which the problem is you can't address them directly,
and you can't deal with everybody.
That's something that would bring down Superman.
Yeah, you can't save everybody.
Humans against humans. You can't interact.
I hear what you're saying, and it would have more impact on Superman than the normal boring stories that you have with him, but it still it's wouldn't better. Have the impact that it has.
Well,
that.
I agree. Superman is flawed because
I used to get in these arguments with my roommate in college about Batman, and Batman, I think one of his big things is also because he's the detective. I mean, that's what he's known as. He's the detective, and we love our detective stories.
That's true.
Well, let's also talk that's about true. It beyond that, which is that Batman has a psychology where Superman doesn't really have much of a psychology. I mean, Batman has a very sophisticated psychology where he's
Superman could if someone wrote it.
Yeah, but Superman is... He's a
I've
bright-
seen Superman done very well. There's a comic called Identities where they he finds if I'm paraphrasing what happens in the comic, he finds out he has cancer,
mm-hmm.
and when you have cancer and you're Superman, there's that's it. There's yeah. no way to get it out.
Yeah.
So through the comic that I read, it's him trying to tell the people closest to him and then just not being able to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's great, but
we've got a lot to cover, so we should keep moving forward.
All right. So 66 Metal Gear Solid with 21 points.
Awesome.
That first game was awesome.
Back in the day.
On the PlayStation 1, that was crazy.
Now if you talk about the PlayStation 1, I'm talking about the Nintendo back when.
Oh, that was Metal Gear.
You would get caught in the maze. That stupid
but
maze.
Metal Gear Solid when that was yeah, I mean true. That was just so yes. beautiful and awesome. It was just unbelievable.
65 is Street Fighter 2.
Awesome.
Ah, speaking of bad kick.
Yeah, changed it forever.
I was never a fighting game guy.
Really?
Yeah.
It was the first heavily communal video game.
Yes.
Where, like, when you went to the arcade, same Stacks group of guys around the machine.
Yes,
absolutely.
Slapped
down there. People chatted. I got my first lawyer because he played a really mean Blanca.
I would really, really love to get all the money that I killed on Street Fighter.
Oh, let's not even go into that.
Because I would be a very rich man based on compound interest.
Okay, everyone here knows I played Chun-Li. What was your character, Matt?
I was Ryu. Come on. Seriously?
Yeah,
I like Guile.
Okay, no, I would have guessed that. Mm. And Aaron, if he played...
Blanca.
I don't know. Chun-Li was pretty fast.
Blanca. You played the green guy who could electrocute people.
Yeah.
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 64, JPL.
Awesome.
JPL.
Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Yeah.
Did a tour of that. It was...
Well, I'm trying to get
it's like
some,
Bombay there, by
I'm
the way.
I'm trying to get some guys on on JPL on the show because they are they're
half
the rocket scientists.
Half of them are Indian. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Cool.
Go there. It's
good.
It's great.
Come on over.
The brain drain goes straight to JPL.
63 is the gadget, video and digital cameras.
Okay.
That, I put that high on my list because it's kind of changed my life personally and my career.
Yep.
And it really – and we're about ready to see a huge change in Hollywood. Those of you who aren't in Hollywood are going to see some big changes, and it's because of digital
cameras. I think
cameras.
We should buy a red camera and then rent it out to people. You could probably make your money back in a couple
There's
of
no reason to rent. That's the problem is it's too cheap. Why would you rent a camera that you could buy for cheap?
62 is Batman the Animated Series.
Awesome.
Oh,
is that
God.
Dini?
Yeah, that was the Paul Dini series. Just it was the first cartoon I'd seen in a really long time that had real story continuity.
Yeah.
And like they killed people sometimes.
They did.
Surprised me.
61. I was actually surprised at how low this was on the list. Is Wheel of Time, the Robert Jordan series, 22 points.
I think it's because it angered so many of its
yes.
fans.
I think because it was both so brilliant in places and so bad.
Well,
yeah.
He did exactly what George Lucas drove me crazy about in his movies, is that he made it good enough that the bad places looked worse.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah. Well, and also I really got the sense from a couple of the last books, when I quit reading, I felt those books weren't necessary. I just felt he was milking the series for more money
well,
at that point.
You know, we've heard a rumor that basically what happened was he changed
editors,
and his new editor became his wife, and so he simply had no one cutting out the stuff that wasn't good. You know, and that's part of what happened. Later on, his very latest
you need
his
someone,
last works were great.
I'm planning on rereading them
read,
soon when the last one comes
you
out.
You read through book six, it is a triumphant series. It is an incredibly beautiful, triumphant series. And then it makes a small squeaky noise like a balloon.
Well, and some of he's not true to some of his characters. Like one of my favorite characters just becomes a wuss cake halfway through the series.
His last book, though, was great.
His last book felt like he was trying to wrap it up because he was afraid of dying.
Yeah, well, but it was great. It was really a good book. So,
and
60
he passed away, so we should.
Is Star Trek. Now, I don't know if this is the movie or the. This is the movies, I believe. This, yeah, 60 is the Star Trek movies.
Even Trek movies don't suck.
Yeah. 59.
That's starting to not really pan out anymore.
And a lot of people on Star Trek voted for Wrath of Khan, but other people were not.
That was my number, like, two or three.
Yeah,
there are some movies on my some things on my list that I know aren't critically acclaimed things, but just me personally, I've watched Wrath of Khan a zillion times. It's the best Star Trek movie, but I also think it's just a great movie. You don't even have to be a Star Trek fan. It's written well, it's directed well, and guess what? The characters actually act like they did when they were in the TV series instead of some completely different thing, which most Star Trek movies, they don't act like what was going on in the TV series. So anyway, that's why.
You're passionate about that, man.
Yeah, Star Trek. I mean, Wrath of Khan is a freaking awesome movie.
Okay. And you weren't the only person that voted for it. But 59, Batman the Comics, just in general.
Awesome.
Okay. 58, Ghost in the Shell, the animated.
Yeah. Have you seen it, Aaron?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
And they're making a live action version of it now, so I'm very interested to see where that goes.
Weird. Interesting.
57, with 24 points, The Man, Stan Lee.
Yeah.
You know,
I still think he's a good spokesperson for the comic book world.
He's a great spokesperson. He's meandering a little bit, but you know what? Well, he's still there.
He's old, but his love, his serious love.
And it's a really serious love.
56, BioShock.
Really?
Yeah. BioShock's great freaking game.
It's a great game, but I would not have thought of all, you know, all-time geekiest things that would be that high.
You know, there's a waiting
Street Fighter?
There's a waiting thing that goes on here.
I like it better than Street Fighter.
Mm. I do too, actually. But there's a waiting thing that goes on here where things that are more recent obviously are more
fresh
on people's
minds.
Especially with the gadgets.
You know, so in a couple years, we'll see. Yeah, especially with the gadgets. But
it's the reason why, Metropolis probably isn't on the list, because
it happens with the AFI top lists, too, where recent movies seem to be way closer.
And they affect us. I mean, these are things that affected me mostly, and, you know, Wrath of Khan and, you know, BioShock is, you know, more than Pac-Man for me.
So, 55, Stephen Hawking's.
Awesome.
Stephen, again, not only being brilliant, but because of some of these books that he has written, where he's written for us common folk.
He made science cool.
And he tried to explain it to us.
Yeah.
You know.
And he's an interesting character. We all are just fascinated by the things that's going on in his personal life.
Just his existence has made a new archetypal character for movies and television.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he appeared on Star Trek. Have you ever seen him on
Star Trek?
No.
He was on Star Trek Next Generation, and it would be him and Albert Einstein and Data and like a bunch of, and Isaac Newton playing poker. It was awesome.
I never saw that. Was it him?
It was him. And it was actually him playing.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Like Data, awesome. Data's like hologram fantasies. We're playing poker with other.
That's cool.
Yeah.
54, 25 points, Puerto Rico, the board game.
Great game.
One of my all-time favorite games of all time. And one that people, you know, I have a couple of all-time favorite board games that people won't play with me.
Yeah.
This one people will play with me.
Yeah. What about the Cubans and the Dominicans?
Well, people get scared when they see this game and all the pieces coming out. Then they play it, and it's a lot simpler than they thought.
Well, they don't get as scared as when I drag out Starfleet Battles.
Well,
and they get really scared.
Number 53, the organization TSR and Wizards.
Of course.
Because they're combined
now.
They're
one and the same now.
Boo.
52, the device, the GPS.
Oh, okay. Yeah, makes sense.
GPS, yeah.
51, Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card.
Ender's Game.
Why don't we do that one again?
Yeah. 51, Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card.
Awesome.
Great book.
That's a brilliant book.
And
it's next on my list.
The rumors are that they've been trying to get a movie made of it.
Kids are so young.
They're too young for a movie.
Yeah.
They're going to have to I feel like they have to turn up all the ages a little.
Everybody would have to be 12 years old.
I could deal with 12-year-olds.
Maybe if, well, have you read Bean's story or Ender's Shadow or anything? I mean, Bean's one, and he's like, you know,
but that
uber
it just doesn't
genius.
Make sense. Even when I read the book, I was like, I upped all the ages.
Really?
It just didn't make any sense to me.
Number 50, the universal remote.
Really,
that should be 50? Number one.
50 is the universal remote.
Do you know how many problems that solved?
Yeah, no, I was both
sitting right here.
50 beat out Batman and Superman. I disagree.
It is surprising. I was actually surprised by this one too. 50 is the handheld game console.
Okay. Mm-hmm. DS, awesome.
Or sorry, 49 is the handheld game console. Okay. 50 was Universal Remote. 48 is Albert Einstein.
Come on, the man.
Just the personality, everything.
I mean, you know, he's so lovable. I mean, they made E.T. look like Albert Einstein because he's
lovable. How much of that is really him and then just or his, but what we've put on him.
I don't think it matters.
He had a passion and a belief in people.
And he also believed that imagination was more important than having the science there. So, I mean.
Well, easy for him to say.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
47 is Final Fantasy. All of the games.
Just clumped together.
Well, I think in this one, there were a couple of threes and sevens and tens.
Yeah, just people some of these, because an Einstein episode would be great. A Final Fantasy episode would be really great.
I said we can be specific on certain episodes. Okay. You're the guys, the ones that said, no, let's talk about blah, blah.
In 100 right. episodes, Aaron's going to have to apologize for that.
So, 46 with 28 points is Lost.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lost is a good
one. Although Lost just kind of lost me. I mean, it's very strange. And I don't see how their whole, oh, yeah, we have a 5-year arc. We're following. Oh, yeah, we're doing everything that we said. I kind of don't buy it.
Yeah.
I kind of.
You think they're making it up as they go?
I think they're making it up as they go.
I don't know.
There are too many things about like Walt and, you know, why does Claire had to raise Aaron herself?
I think if they were so solidly pre-plotted, like when you watch Babylon 5, which was pre-plotted.
Exactly.
You know, these plot points echo seasons later. Lost doesn't have that. No. Every season is self-contained.
Well, I think they have an idea of where they're going, but I do think that, you know, they're also making it up as they go. I mean, otherwise you would. Well, anyway, So at number 45... puts a smile on my face. Transformers, the animated series.
Awesome. Yeah.
It seems like robots that transformed put smiles on your face, Peter.
Well, no, they were just they were back at the right time, and I watched them growing up. They were at that sweet spot in my development.
Yeah, I was too old for that.
I got the crossover, which was Jetfire. I don't know, diecast metal. He looked like a plane from Robotech, but he transformed into all the different shapes and everything. I still have it in box in my in my house. So I wonder how much it's worth.
Number 44, with 29 points, Doctor Who.
I love, to this day, the theme song of Doctor Who just gets me a little excited.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a great
theme
song.
And there's like a billion versions of it.
Yeah.
I mean, every season they adjusted it, it seems like, and it's been, what, 50 years?
But the same, it was always there, you know?
And, you know, that's a crazy series because it's never had the production value ever of a lot of the...
Really not.
Ever.
Really not.
And yet it keeps popping up and people are still watching it, but I don't think it ever hits people's number one lists.
Well, I think one of the reasons why Doctor Who is always successful personally, I actually don't think their plots are often amazing, but they usually have a lead actor on there that is really driving. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just really charismatic. You want to watch him, you know.
But I think part of it is that because they just didn't worry about whether they could do it or not, they wrote plots.
They just tried their best.
Yeah, they just wrote crazy sci-fi ideas, and they had to write
around their budget too.
Well, I think they just kept writing. Like, I think in Star Trek they said, well, you got to cut that part out because we can't do it, and here they said, just throw a guy in a rubber costume, put some cellophane
on a basketball and throw it out.
Don't cut the script, just, you know, have him hold a flashlight.
Number 43 was Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man. Comic book. Awesome.
Yeah. With 29 points.
I was very specific on this one as well. I was talking about the death of Gwen Stacy because I think that was the first time death appeared in comic books and was really,
well,
really
before the...
mainstream comic books.
Yeah, mainstream comic books. Okay.
Gwen Stacy, that was the girlfriend who died.
Getting her neck snapped.
Okay.
Yeah, if you saw the first Spider-Man movie when he throws Mary Jane Watson off the bridge, that's the death of Gwen Stacy.
Oh, okay. Gwen Stacy. Okay.
Except that what happens is that when he tries to save her with his web...
He snaps her neck.
He snaps her neck from the fall.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. They followed physics, Aaron.
Yeah.
That's what happens when heroes follow physics.
42 is The Simpsons, the animated show.
Oh, how can it not be?
Again, that... people still watch it, and people claim it still has not jumped the shark. And it's, what, 13 years?
I still enjoy it. Hasn't nuked the fridge. I don't find it as consistent as it used to be.
But it's still got great episodes.
Homie, stop picking.
But it's so tasty.
I heard somebody was talking about, by the way, I think this was another podcast, them playing Spore. You know, when you're playing Spore, the other creatures that you see on the planets or other people's planets come from other people's computers,
right,
the animals that they built. They said they were like traveling to a different planet. They went to a planet where there was like all Marge Simpsons because someone just decided to make an animal to look like
Is
Marge
Spore
Simpson.
Out?
No, it's coming out very soon, like in a
beta,
couple weeks.
Probably beta, right? Yeah.
41 is Akira.
Oh,
Kaneda!
Somebody, could you please email me and tell me what the ending was? Because I still don't understand, really.
Bears are leaking milk out of their eyes.
That was my first anime feature film. First one I ever saw.
But the perspective changes and all that. And, I mean, the animation is just crazy.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Just crazy.
Number 40 is Riffs.
Oh, really?
Riffs made it that high.
What did you put that on, like...
It was like one of
super
my
super number one.
Super uber. I would like to give Riff 75.
Somebody
points.
Else must have put it on there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's got 31 points. Yeah. So it had at least four people vote for it.
Wow.
I remember the first time I ever saw the full page spread of a robot killing another robot in a comic book, and that was Riff for me.
The role playing game based off of the illustrations that's in the books.
I had to get it. Number 39, Gene Roddenberry.
Oh,
man. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that really he only created one thing.
Scientology. Kidding.
And I mean, he made other television shows, but really only one.
People in black coats outside the house.
And he's on the list by making really one show.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Gary Gygax made the list for making one game concept.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty much.
Good point. Number 38, Storyteller Games Vampire.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I can't play Vampire.
Why not?
I play them for a little while, and it gets too dark, and I start having bad dreams, and just like... Ugh.
I don't like... I have to say, maybe this came from my wargaming background. I like more rules in my game.
Vampires.
I don't even understand you.
I don't like touchy feely. Although I did like that mirror.
He likes Starfleet battles. That should tell you everything you need to know.
I think from a gaming perspective, you and I are so opposite. Yeah.
It's like GURPS playing manual thicker than a phone book.
Yes, GURPS. I just see rules Vampire on the exact opposite as far as role playing
easily.
Games.
I just see rules as being something that can get in the way of the game.
Although Vampire went the way that all role playing games go gets uber.
Yeah.
Boy, did it go uber.
Oh my, well, all of a sudden the emphasis was supposed to be on sort of like gentle politicking and subtlety and manipulation, and then all of a sudden people's little brothers started playing, and like, I want to play the Bruja so I can beat up your Toreador.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden all the rule books are like Bruja powers that set your fists on fire. I'm like, no, done, finished.
My friend's favorite line was, I am a 5,000-year-old vampire. I come from the time of Cain. And the mage goes, you're a soap bubble. And the vampire says, that's what happens.
Okay, so number
of people who played Vampire just laughed out there.
So number 37, Batman the movies.
Awesome.
Now people, the most recent
with the foam shark on the leg.
Did you combine the last movie?
The last movie was voted for a lot.
Yeah,
you know, but there were a couple of them that were just generic. So
mostly the last movie. And a little bit of foam chart.
I personally think that, like, I tend to exclude the Jim Carrey and the Arnold Schwarzenegger ones.
Yeah.
I just erase them from the canon. But the other three, I really think, are products of the time they were in. I think people look back at the first one and go, wow, that's really kind of campy. And they look at the second one and go, wow, that's really campy. But I think they were
appropriate. Are you talking about based on the TV show?
No, I'm talking about Catwoman and Penguin.
Okay.
I think that they were of their time period.
Yeah.
You know,
because the TV show was campy in a great way.
I never really liked the other ones. I thought the last movie was brilliant, but I've never seen a Batman movie I really liked until recently.
Yeah. Okay.
Number 36 with 32 points is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Awesome.
How could it not be?
Okay.
Just For me, it changed the dialogue you see on television. Mm-hmm. You know, between that and The West Wing, it upped the intelligence level of dialogue.
I never followed Buffy. I would watch Buffy and liked. I usually liked every episode, but toward the end, I couldn't figure out what was going on.
I started watching Buffy because of Dawn. So
towards the end, it was so monotonously sad,
dark.
But it was also chocolate. It was also it went from an episodic to a serial, essentially. Like at the beginning, you could watch in any order. Toward the end, there was so much
story
that being dragged through the series that I couldn't figure out what was going on.
I would say that's true.
Number 35 was a big surprise to me, Portal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
A video game.
I'm stunned.
Yeah.
No, Portal is awesome.
Great game.
It was a great game, but I know I voted for it, but I was surprised at how consistently people voted for it. I think a lot of this is that proximity effect because it's such a new game.
I'd be interested to see what the games that come from Portal do.
I think also it got a lot of votes just because of how inventive it was.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
You know, but
brilliant new platformer.
So 34 was Civilization.
Awesome.
33 was The Matrix, the series, but I mean, most people talk about the first.
Come on.
Let's be real. We're talking about the first
there
movie.
There is only one and perhaps the Animatrix.
But that was, you know.
And only some of the Animatrix.
That was the movie that sold DVDs and DVD players. It's and true. It really is. And it surprised, I think it surprised us all. Mm-hmm. I think
I was not expecting that when
I walked into the movie. That and The 13th Floor or whatever came out at the same time, and it looked exactly the same in the trailers.
Yep.
It was another like virtual world. I was like, oh, which one are you going to go to? This one or this one? I don't know, random, 50-50. I'll go to The Matrix. And I walked out of there going, what the hell?
Yeah.
Who made this movie? It came out of nowhere.
The Wachowskis.
It's done. That movie's stunned me. The whole ride home, I was like, wow. Number 32 with 34 points is Star Trek The Next Generation.
34 points or number 34?
Number 32.
Oh, 32.
34. Number 32 is Star
TNG,
Trek.
TNG, all right.
Yep.
TNG. All right.
31 is the Harry Potter books.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah. That's something just can't be ignored.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody seems like
it turned an entire generation onto geekiness.
Thank now,
God.
What's interesting about this one is that this made it into the books, but it didn't make it into any other category.
Well, okay, come on. The movies are they're essentially just copycats of the books, from what I
absolutely.
And there's no real.
And some of them, especially the first two, are not that great.
No,
and no, they're soulless. They feel like they just kind of the book spilled out onto film.
Though I have to admit, I enjoyed the most recent one.
Yeah,
Me too.
It's fine.
Yeah, me too. But still,
they're made for us now.
Yeah.
Number 30 is the laptop.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And, PC on the go.
You know, we also call it Peter's growth.
As in, it's stuck to me.
It's always stuck to you.
Right. So the number 29 is Spirited Away with 36 points.
Awesome.
I haven't seen that yet. And
really?
I know.
I own it.
So if you want to buy it anytime.
Do you have it on Blu-ray?
I do not.
Shut up.
Just a quick story about Spirited Away. I was with a friend at the movie theater pulling a Matrix versus 13th Floor, right? We're just looking at the list going like, you heard of this? Well, it's an anime. It's an anime. We'll go see the anime. And for about an hour and a half, she and I are just sitting there in the third row center of an empty theater going, this is amazing.
Yeah, I was absolutely taken down the rabbit hole with that.
Number 28 is Indiana Jones.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All the movies combined.
28. I thought it'd be higher.
Yeah,
I don't know. The Raiders of the Lost Ark is freaking unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, it just is.
Almost as good as the fourth film.
Yeah, exactly.
You say it, Olive.
Number 27 is Halo.
Okay.
Really?
I love
it. Oh, come on. Halo was groundbreaking.
I will have to say, I have rarely had as much fun in a video game as when Aaron and I played that.
It was
co-op.
I'm telling you, sitting down with your buddy and playing a first-person shooter through an entire storyline was
but Don,
I think
blast.
It's just because I'm a PC gamer. Like that was not a new experience for PC gamers.
Oh, you've sat down with your buddy and played through a whole storyline on your PC?
Not through a whole storyline. That's true.
I mean, it was like it was going through this adventure with your buddy, not shooting him. You were like
I got him. Shoot him.
He's in the turret.
You saved my life.
You're driving. You're being. I mean, it was just. It was crazy.
Yeah,
it was crazy. I mean, you came over like we did it like five nights.
Five
you came
nights
over every night. We would do like play 2 hours and then go home.
And Aaron and I, when we're driving the truck in the last scene, and the horde or whatever they're called,
the flood
is coming after us. We're screaming at the TV, like, ah, get him!
The timer counting down.
That was awesome. Yeah.
So number 26 is NASA.
Okay.
With 37 points.
Yeah, but
the company that lets us dream.
The company exactly. Now that is retiring the space shuttle, and not many people going into space for another 10 years.
I know.
Number 25 is GURPS.
GURPS and NASA. GURPS, the RPG for people who can't make up their minds.
What are you talking about? For the person who doesn't want to read rules over and over and over again when they want to start a new genre.
What?
What?
Doesn't want to read rules over and over? Have you looked at your closet?
No. Well, but yeah, but that's you don't play with all those books.
You just play with one.
You play with one book, don't you?
Right, and most of those books are just background.
All right, kids.
You have to understand, this is
really personal, and this could get nasty real
By the way,
fast.
GURPS is dying. I doubt if that game is going
to
last.
I don't think many RPGs are doing well. Yeah. Like Dungeons & Dragons is the only one that still seems to be going strong.
Hasborg.
Number 24, World of Warcraft.
Awesome.
With a bullet. I mean, that thing came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, MMORPGs were mainstream.
You guys put this all as number one, right?
No, actually.
I put Pac-Man
what?
As number one.
I was shocked at how.
Matt,
often
you should have put
not,
this as number one,
no,
you freakazoid.
No,
I played this thing for years.
Yeah, but I played Pac-Man. I'm still playing Pac-Man.
I thought this would be in our top 10. I thought World of Warcraft would be in our top 10. I was shocked at how low it was.
I'm shocked. And where did you put it on your list?
It was number one for me.
Okay.
I retired it.
So number 23 is the cell phone.
Okay.
Changed everybody's lives dramatically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if the birth rate went down because of the amount of cell phones on people's hips.
I don't know. Number 22, if we combine the category alien and alien.
Of course.
We had lots of
how
votes for both.
How dare you combine those two?
Well, they're both great.
They are both great. They are very different movies. I think Alien, I put Alien on my list. I think it's one of the best movies of all time. It's just freaking unbelievable.
Alien.
In fact, I saw it in the theater recently. Yeah. The New Art over here had it. Awesome.
To this day, I think it's scary.
Scary as hell.
Awesome. It really is.
Now, number 21 is Apple. And what's interesting is that Microsoft did not make this list.
Really?
Which is really fascinating. Steve Jobs was lower on the list than Bill Gates, but Apple was higher on the list than Microsoft. And we had a lot of people
And therefore, Microsoft didn't make the entire list at all.
Well, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I think part of it is, you know, Microsoft is kind of known for its workhorse technology. Like, the world works on Microsoft. The world plays with Apple.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's some truth to that, although people could argue that there's a lot more video gaming that's done on a PC.
True, that's true, definitely true. But in general, they've got gadgets that you know, 80% of the people are using when they're listening to music. It's, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Number 20 is the iPod.
Awesome.
Speaking of which.
Mm-hmm. And
by the way, the iPod changed how I thought of music. I didn't listen to a lot of music and didn't make lists and stuff for a long time. I got an iPod and started building my
lists.
And
now you're the king of lists.
And now I have all sorts of music lists, and I try to find music. I use iTunes. I mean, it really changed me.
Yeah.
Number 19 is Steven Spielberg.
Awesome.
He's made so many things we've fallen in love with.
Absolutely.
He made,
I forgive him for the last Indiana Jones.
He made a lot.
Well, actually, a lot of people say that it was Lucas that caused that problem.
They like to throw the blame right in.
The scuttlebutt that I heard was that the script that we talked about that was written by...
It's still a bad script.
No, it's a much better script, though. But it's significantly.
It's less significantly.
but anyway, everyone was fine with it except for Lucas. So it would have been a much better movie.
Yeah.
You know, that's a scuttlebutt at least.
Nah.
Number 18, A Song of Ice and Fire by George R. R. Martin.
Awesome.
Okay.
Get the damn books on tape.
Still a recent
talk. Still a
recent
actually had the first
series,
book on tape.
But,
okay.
So this is with 40 points that we're at now. Now, this is where things start to really kind of rocket up. Everything's been, you know, for the first...
Hovering.
It's where people get unified in their voting.
The first 80 were all within 40 points of each other. Okay, now here's where it starts to go up pretty quickly. So, number 17, console gaming with 42 points. Okay.
Now, we combine these because everyone got very specific. I, for example,
some people were very general.
I put the PlayStation 1 and the Xbox 360. Right. I think PlayStation 1 got me back into video games. When the first, like, 3D home video game, and that fight, what's that first fighting game? It was like Tenchu.
Battle Arena Toshinden?
Yeah. I looked at that.
Wow, where'd you pull that one out of?
But that was the game.
I am the fighting game guy.
That's true.
I looked at that and was like, I can't believe that you can play this on your television.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was all 3D characters fighting. I just couldn't believe it. And so I went out and bought my first console ever. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, my Xbox 360, as I use it all the time.
Yes, he does.
The 360, we got a lot of votes for.
Yeah.
You know. Now, number 16 is George Lucas.
Awesome.
And what was interesting is that every time someone voted, they voted for George Lucas, and then right below them was Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
George Lucas was always above him. Now, I have a feeling about this. I think that Steven Spielberg has brought us great movies. George Lucas brought us Star Wars, but he's also changed the industry dramatically.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He brought us his special effects company, and he brought us digital projection.
Well, and also Spielberg gave us great movies, and George Lucas gave us iconic franchises.
Yes.
There's that too.
And the idea of an iconic franchise.
Yeah.
Number 15, X-Men with 42 points.
Okay.
Movie or comic?
The comic.
Comic, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the movie didn't make it on the list at all.
I really think the X-Men was a very important comic when it came out, in that it was the first superhero comic to approach the superheroes as characters,
mm-hmm.
where like the super struggles were secondary to their life stories.
Hmm.
And
the racism of it, yeah.
Yeah, and now looking at comic books that exist now, it's pretty clear the impact that's made. It's spread throughout the entire genre.
Number 14, jumping 5 points from the last one, is Twilight Zone, jumping to 47 points.
Twilight Zone is freaking awesome. And by the way, I found out, I think
they're still good.
CBS.com, you know, all these networks have shows online now. CBS.com, I think they have every episode for free.
Really?
Yeah. If you go there, or you can just go to Hulu, which I've said a million times, Hulu keeps track of all this stuff, even other networks. So it will send you, if you can do a search on Hulu, it will send you to CBS.com. It will actually give you search results for other products.
Which is awesome. I need to do that because I love Twilight Zone.
Now, number 13 might not be very fair, because what we did with 13 is we actually combined, anytime we got a Pixar film that was referenced, we combined them. Now, that might not be fair.
That isn't fair.
You know.
How dare you.
But we got a lot of Pixar films. And we got them all across the board, you know, from Finding Nemo, Toy Story, The Incredibles.
So what you did is you decided to give Pixar all this.
Well, to make room on the list for other things as well,
mm-hmm.
we thought we'd combine it. Number 12 is Firefly with 50 points.
Really?
That's
surprising.
Well,
beat Buffy.
I mean, I voted for Firefly because the rabid following that it spawned for one season. You know,
I wonder if that's because it was like JFK and it got shot in the head before it could really, screw itself up.
Well, I think it's one of those things where if you do actually sit down and you watch the episodes, mm-hmm. the potential of the series is plain as the nose on your face. I mean, it's amazingly fantastic. Written. The performances are superb. So I think it's more frustration of the fact that it never reached fruition.
Still should have started with the third episode.
To me, I felt like it was all about characters. I don't see where it was going.
Oh, I do.
I mean, I didn't see any indication.
Well, we saw it in the movie where he wanted to go with it. You know? If that had been a payoff after 5 seasons of Summer Glau really coming into her own and becoming this uber warrior, blah blah blah.
I can just see the arc.
But to me, those are like kind of character things. I didn't see any like point to like a vision of the world that he was hinting at per se.
Well, Chinese people would have been nice. I'm just saying.
All right, let's
number 11, personal computer.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I think that's a really apt thing to pick.
That changed the world.
55 points.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So this is now the top 10.
We're now down to our top 10.
Top 10 geeky things of all time. All right.
Number 10.
You just blew out someone's eardrums.
Yeah, somewhere.
Number 10. Blade Runner. Okay.
Ten. You sons of bitches.
With
10?
55 points.
Oh, come on. That best movie ever made.
Just rewatched that on high def recently, and my God, I rediscovered the movie all over again. I had such a good time.
Okay. The special effects being 20-something years old look...
You would never know.
Unbelievable.
You would never know it was 20-something years old.
Unbelievable looking.
Yeah.
And it's on Blu-ray, it was crystal clear.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how... Yeah. We actually stopped and you could hear everyone inhale just watching the blimp go overhead through the windows. Just like,
yeah.
That's probably clearer than when it first came out.
Actually. Well, it's not clearer, but... We're seeing it on a small screen instead of blown up on a big screen, so it probably looks clearer. But, again, after watching it again, I've seen it a trillion times. It's just having a science fiction movie with subtlety is rare.
And asks big questions.
It
does what Battlestar does.
It's an adult science fiction. Yes. You don't have laser guns.
That's what science fiction is supposed to be.
Exactly. It's just unbelievable.
Number 9. Star Trek, the old series.
Okay. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I'm a TNG guy myself.
No.
I'm actually the Deep Space Nine guy myself, but, I mean, I appreciate it.
The old series, I mean, I know...
Well, it's a historical...
I can't fault it being at number 9.
Absolutely.
But still, there are some stories in there that are... They're like Twilight Zones. They're like individually great short stories that they... didn't have to worry about fitting into the canon because they were writing the canon. So I think it was easier for them to come out with some of these big ideas.
I'll have to find out the name, but George R. R. Martin in the book Dream Songs that I'm reading right now references, I believe it's a radio program that came... No, a TV program, actually, that came out previous to Star Trek. And he says it's straight out Gene Roddenberry totally ripped off Star Trek from this TV show.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing.
Number 8. Batman The Dark Knight Returns with 59 points.
Wow.
Okay, I love this movie. Don't get me wrong, but I can't help thinking
it's the comic.
Oh, the Frank Miller comic.
Yes.
Oh, I take back everything I said. It completely deserves to be there without any question in my mind.
Yeah.
That is the comic that changed Batman into what we think of him today.
He was old.
Yeah.
Old.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they haven't made this into a movie yet, to be honest.
And they copied one of the moments from... I would love to make this movie with Clint Eastwood playing Batman.
And who would you make as Superman, though?
I have no idea. It doesn't matter. He's moving at high speed.
I would make
Clint... He's just a blur.
He is. In the comic book, he's a blur.
I would make Clint Eastwood as Superman.
Oh, really?
And I would take Nicholson as Batman.
No.
What?
No. There's a moment in the book where Batman is climbing up this rope outside a building to get the criminals inside, and they're flipping out because they don't know whether or not to believe that he still exists or what's going on, and they're like, it can't be the Bat. He's got to be so old. And it cuts back outside to Batman, and he's sitting there, and he says, old enough to need my legs to climb a rope. And I was just like, yeah! You know, because he's still old, but he's still kicking, like, hard.
Number 7. Now, this one I'm surprised about. Number 7 is the iPhone.
Oh, okay. Okay, now, here's the thing.
Proximity.
It's proximity. I have to say that my iPhone, I thought was going to be my fun little gadget that I play with. It's now turning into my mini laptop.
Yeah.
Like, I use it a lot.
Yeah, you do.
A lot. Emails and calendars and music and videos. I mean, I'm using it all the time now.
Yeah.
Is it becoming
a good extension of your computer?
Yes.
Okay.
I can even access my computer through my iPhone. Mm-hmm. I could start up a render in 3D from anywhere on my computer. It's crazy. Wow. It's really crazy.
Number 6 with 66 points. Is Lord of the Rings the movies?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for me... I mean, they're the new Star Wars.
Yeah.
They're the new Star
Wars. Sadly. Yeah.
Sadly.
Well, I just think it's the most perfectly executed adaptation.
Yes.
Minus the 19 endings at the end. Yes, I will agree.
Well,
that's from the book. Yeah, but actually, they didn't invent
it's that. Truncated.
Yeah.
Still.
And honestly, I'm not a fan of Tolkien's writing style. So that. The transition over to the movie for me was wonderful.
This is a great difference between Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
In which they decided to make some changes, and they also decided to rework the style of writing. Like, you know, in the books, you would read 400 pages before they would go back to the other character.
Right,
yeah.
That doesn't work right. in a movie.
But, I mean, if you could make Gimli into the comic relief rather than the really, really big warrior, which he was, you could cut an ending.
True. Or I mean, at least shorten it. I agree. The ending could have been better. It could have been better.
Yeah.
But as a series, I mean, it really... And I'm now looking forward to the next...
Yes, I want to see The Hobbit.
I
want to see Smaug.
I'm there.
If you can do Smaug better than the dragon in Dragon Slayer...
well, that's
you know what, though? I honestly think the animated version had a really good Smaug.
Mm-hmm.
He scared me. Yeah.
Right. Number five is The Watchmen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
71
points.
And now the movie's becoming derailed because of...
you know, they may be in real... I didn't realize how much trouble. I mean, it actually may not come out.
Yeah. What happened?
It's off the rails. Well, Fox is suing, saying that they have the real rights to it.
Hmm.
And now it's got a court date, actually. Yeah. Like, they're not working it out. So, it's been put on hold.
Yeah. They didn't want to maybe... tell them that they had the rights to it before they shot the movie, like, 2 years ago?
I don't know.
Because they're super friendly, those studios.
Well, not only that, but the other studio says, you don't have the rights of shit.
Right.
Now, you think they would get that cleared up, but, yeah, it's crazy.
Yep. Okay, so, interestingly enough, number four is our same as number six, which is, it's Lord of the Rings, but it's the books.
Awesome.
With 71 points.
And you attempted the Silmarillion, didn't you, Aaron? I'm about three quarters of the way through. It's like reading...
It's 2 years.
It's like reading the Begat part of the Bible. you know, there's some awesome little parts in there, but it's just a strange read. It's just a lot of...
But again, it's one of those books that was such an impact in that, you know, most of the fantasy before that point, to my knowledge, was mostly written versions of oral stories and, you know, and oral histories
and him
legend
giving,
and mythology.
And him giving a true mythology. Well, yeah, he wanted to give a true mythology to Western culture.
Yeah, he wanted to create some. And, who goes out and says, I want to create a mythology for my country and then does it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's just crazy.
And the fact that he rewrote the books... I believe it's five times from scratch.
Like, really?
Wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages and then decided, and he was a fledgling writer, didn't know how to do it, and was like, you know, there's no rewrites here. He just went, start over.
Well, that's where all these other books came from. Like, the Silmarillion is his son.
Lord of the Rings is he used to explain the Silmarillion.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, but he didn't write that. That's all. His son put together those other books from all those other writings. Like, he didn't sit down and write the Silmarillion.
Yeah.
It's all this kind of crazy collection.
Number three, with 72 points.
Wow.
Is Battlestar Galactica.
Okay. It is.
Which one?
It is a really recent one.
It is proximity, but I will also say that it is really, really good sci-fi.
I can say objectively it's definitely head and shoulders above most sci-fi that's come before it on TV.
I mean, basically questions like Blade Runner, but it does it on a weekly basis. Basically, I mean, this is also part of how we were having people vote. So when it came to TV sci-fi, I mean, Battlestar is one
lined
of the best
up.
TV yes. sci-fis that's ever come out.
Yeah.
And so it got the top one, you know, it got number one consistently.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to make an argument that there's a better
Yeah, if we gave a
TV
list,
show.
If we told everybody to give their top 100 list as one list.
This would not be up
this
there.
This wouldn't be up. Because we broke it down to categories, it kind of works out this way, which is fine. It's just our crazy little
history. And that's why, you know, Lord of the Rings is up there on these categories, too.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
By the way, Battlestar is being released on time. There was a rumor that it got pushed till spring, but it is coming out in January still.
Thank God.
So, and that will... There's only 10 more episodes left.
That's another series where, like, when we watch the last episode, I'm going to be verklempt for a little while.
Yeah. Number two, with 75 points, is Dungeons & Dragons.
Of course.
Oh, how could it not be?
Come on, man. You know, the game that that ended up on a lot of people's number ones list.
What number was Gary Gygax?
He was down at the bottom.
He was 99 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Let me see.
Creation. It's just funny that the creator should be at 99 and the product should be.
Starfleet Battles didn't make the list at all, huh?
Starfleet Battles was actually our number 10 in board games for a long time, and it got bumped at the last second.
Damn it. But,
but you were the only person that voted for it.
Well, it's one of the first role-playing games out there, and the way things are heading, it may be the last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Magic is the one that bumped it.
Ha ha.
And I would argue that it has more of a geeky impact.
How dare you,
Magic? Now, I'm sorry, you were saying that D&D might be what?
The last one.
It may be the last one standing. The way role-playing companies are
now,
talking.
There's always ebbs and flows, and right now we're just having a little
strange. Well, I mean, I find it interesting that, like, Margaret, we were talking before about the company putting out Serenity and Firefly and Battlestar Galactica.
Margaret Wise Productions.
Margaret Wise Productions. And, I mean, I'd be curious to know how those are doing, because I find a lot of video games now are trying to, you know, rise above the pack by globbing onto franchise.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if that's been successful for them, the way the Star Wars role-playing game was
franchise
successful.
Things sell. I mean, you can make a crap video game, slap the Hulk on it, and it sells like hotcakes.
Yeah. And those and the Battlestar Galactica game and the Firefly game both look very promising. I mean,
Serenity third-person game, kind of like KOTOR, would be really good.
Lisa said they talked to companies and were talking about what type of game it would be. I'm not sure what they, you know.
I still want a Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk got kicked off the list because nobody loves me.
All right, so that was number two.
Number one?
Number one.
Jumping from 75 points, which was number two, to 97 points for number one.
Starfleet Battles.
Star Wars.
Star Wars!
How could it not be?
Well, you know, there's not much to say about Star Wars. I mean, it defined my childhood.
Yes.
Just flat out.
Oh, even people who were older than us, it made an impact on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I do find it kind of funny that until the new series came out, there was sort of a period where there were a bunch of kids who had never seen Star Wars.
I know.
Didn't know what the big thing was. And now
what's wrong with these kids today?
Have you ever watched the 70s show episodes where they discover Star Wars for the first time?
No. I actually did see the opening of that, yeah.
Hilarious. Huh. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, all the guys come out a little bit weirded out about Carrie Fisher. And it's very
Well, anyway, it's our top 100 list. You can argue all you want, but you can also go to our website and see what we each individually voted for in the divide into categories.
And put out your list at geeksan.com.
Crazy.
Awesome.
Well, we actually had a gobs of other stuff to put on our 100th episode.
But you know what? It's going to be a sequel. It's going to be 100th episode.
We are somewhat pressed for time this time around, so we're going to have a couple features like mailbag and we have a clip segment.
Yes,
I understand.
We actually have clips from our listeners. We got enough clips, so they sent them all in, and we're going to sort them out. And
let's just put them in our next
and
episode.
Possibly a couple other surprises if we can get off our ass and write them.
Yeah, let's just do we've got more episodes. We're not ending now, for God's sake, right?
No.
Right?
No.
All right, fine.
101, here we come.
Oh, my God. It's a meteorite coming down to crush us.
No.
Sorry. That's right.
We have to put out enough episodes to shame Aaron for only giving us 3 digits in our counter.
Yes.
All right. Well, shame me when we get to 999.
Okay.
Just you wait.
All right?
Just you wait.
It's coming.
We'll be old. We'll be doing the show with our dentures in place, and we'll be in rocking chairs.
Fine by me.
We will get there.
All right. Well, my teeth.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to us for 100 episodes.
Or two.
or two episodes.
However many you've listened for, thanks for sharing a little time with us.
But definitely go back. We've got a gazillion episodes still on there, and there's some great interviews. You don't have to listen to all of them, but go search through them. We've got interviews with Orson Scott Card and George R. R. Martin and Bear and
Joss Whedon.
I mean, they're all back there, so go and find your favorites and re-listen to them.
And we actually have a couple episodes that we have never uploaded to our website that maybe one day, maybe.
I don't know.
Dig out of the archive.
We'd have to figure out how they fit in, like what the dates were and all that. We'll try.
I'm sure we can figure something out.
Alrighty. Anything else before we wrap up 100? It's almost 2 hours.
Yeah, that's it.
Crazy.
I think that's it.
All right. Well, have a great geek week, and I hope you all have another good 100 episodes.
You too.
Bye, everybody. Have a good geek week.
Rock it out. Geek it out.